You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that has the sauce that you crave. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go through, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Maybe you should talk about that sauce, Morty.
Yeah, let's talk about the sauce.
Let's start off with that.
Let's talk about the sauce, because I think we're going to get a really good conversation about that. So last Saturday, okay, I need to back up a little further than that. Rick and Morty is a show.
It's a television program.
It is a television program that runs on Adult Swim. We've talked about it on the show quite a bit. It's what if Doc Brown was related to Marty from Back to the Future and also a drunk a-hole?
Slash weird multi-dimensional space god-like being?
Weird grandpa? Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird space grandpa. Anyway, they make a lot of references to various things throughout the show. It's kind of part of what the show is built on. And this past season, I didn't watch it. You guys can maybe fill me in a little bit on this. They make an offhand comment about Szechuan sauce.
Yep, episode 1 of season 3.
Okay.
It's a little more than an offhand comment. He goes on a rant.
He goes on a rant about it?
Okay. Yeah.
For those who don't remember, Szechuan sauce was the long discontinued special McDonald's dipping sauce that was produced in 1998 for the Mulan animated movie.
Advertised as a taste from the east, which
yeah. From the east, they mean sweet and sour sauce mixed with barbecue sauce. That's all it is. That's it. That's all it is. Anyway, people have been going nuts for that Szechuan sauce. So this past Saturday, McDonald's rolled out their new crispy breaded chicken tenders. This is like the fourth or fifth time in my lifetime I think they've had crispy
chicken tenders.
Yeah. But hey, they're delicious.
Pretty good. I've had them a couple times. They are delicious.
I went to get some and they were out.
Yeah, they're really good. But anyway, they were doing a promotion where they had these different special posters printed up for each of the different dipping sauces that come with it. And the whole idea is you go in at 2 o'clock to a specific McDonald's on a Saturday, last Saturday, and order the tenders, you get a poster. And select locations also had a very limited run of Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, not all McDonald's, just like the closest one to us was McDonald's
Columbus.
On High Street.
It was that two-story McDonald's down in High Street by campus. So I thought, you know, I like Rick and Morty. I don't watch it regularly, but I like it enough.
And McDonald's.
It's McDonald's.
That's fun.
That's fun. Yeah. I was like, and you know what? I thought, I have nothing to do. It's Saturday. I'm going to go down there and see if I can get some Szechuan sauce. Why not? It'd be good for my original idea was get a handful of them, bring some back for all you guys. Then, like, I don't know, eat them on the show, do a video, something like that. It'd be kind of fun. So I get down there a couple hours. It was about, I want to say about 11:30 when I get down there. First off, I knew it was going to be a problem to begin with because not only was it Szechuan sauce day, it was also OSU football home game homecoming.
Oh, no.
So I had to fight not only regular OSU football traffic, but homecoming football traffic. Ended up having to spend more than I'd like to admit on parking to go get some sauce. Stood in line for 2.5 hours. Made some friends in the line. Actually, the chances are there's probably one or two of them listening to this show because I told them about it while we were talking. And at the time, I was like, "Yeah, we're going to eat the sauce on the show. It's going to be great. Tune in."
Hi, McBros.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hey, everybody. So anyway, as it got closer and closer to 2 o'clock. Things got crazier and crazier.
Real weird.
Yeah, it was getting weird. Like, the line wrapped all the way around the bottom floor of the McDonald's, up the stairs, all the way around the top floor, and back down the stairs and out the side door.
Wait, this McDonald's has multiple levels?
Yeah, it's a two-story McDonald's. It's very nice one. It's down by the Newport Music Hall. So, it's a very nice one. The general manager, no one had told him what was going on. He had no idea that anything was happening today, that day. Like, they hadn't delivered anything for him. They had nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, and they didn't have anything until about a half hour, until about 1:30. That's when the special Szechuan sales rep showed up in the Szechuan truck. And
if it doesn't look like a spaceship made out of junk, I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it wasn't Rick and Morty themed, though. Like,
yeah,
the packets and the posters didn't have Rick and Morty on
it. Although
it looked an awful lot like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the font and everything on the posters, like, wink, wink, nudge.
Yeah.
It's Rick and Morty.
It's Rick and Morty. Anyway, so it gets to be about 1:30, and, you know, we're standing in the line, and people are getting wound up. Someone brought a cardboard standee of Pickle Rick, which is always something. And, yeah. Actually, it turns out one of our old friends, Brian, I think he's – didn't Brian co-host one of the shows?
Yeah.
It was either Brian or his brother, Sean. I forget which one it was.
We did a show with all of them once.
Yeah. Once upon a time, yeah. He was there, so that was cool. So it gets to be about 1:30, and that's when we are told that the McDonald's has a limited amount of Szechuan sauce. Not everyone in line is going to get Szechuan sauce. In fact, they have 19 packets of Szechuan sauce. There are a good, gosh, I want to say, oh, more than 100 people. I want to say pushing maybe 300, 350.
Jeez.
There were a lot of people in line for the Szechuan sauce. And people were getting a little tight about not getting their sauce. And it was kind of an eye-opening kind of, like, I don't know. I don't care. I'll be honest, I don't care. It was kind of neat to be down there, but if I wasn't going to get the sauce, I wouldn't have cared. I would have stuck it out. I would have gotten the nuggets because, hey, why not? And then I would have left.
Because
it would not have been
a
deal.
You're a reasonable human being.
Yeah. As it turned out, there were 19 packets of sauce. I was number 17 in line. Almost didn't get the sauce because at the very last minute, we had three people try to jump the line.
Oh.
Yeah. That was fun. Almost a fight almost broke out in there because of three line jumpers.
Because of McDonald's dipping sauce?
Because of a 1 ounce packet of barbecue sauce mixed with sweet and sour sauce.
That a cartoon man told you was good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the way they put it was they only received 19 packets of sauce. They only had one of each of the posters. There's 10 posters, one of each of the posters. And, they had little, like, vinyl stickers, like, smaller size of the posters, like a hand, like 30 of those. So it was like, you can have either the sauce or a poster or a sticker. And once they're all gone, they're all gone. So that's less than 100 things. The line's like 350, 400 people long.
Good Lord.
No one was happy about it. There was an older gentleman who tried to pick a fight with the general manager because he started yelling, well, what about those two boxes in the back that say Szechuan sauce all over them? And the general manager replied, sir, I assure you, there are no boxes back there that say Szechuan sauce.
What?
He was not. It was bad. And I wish I would have, in hindsight, I should have stuck around after I got my sauce and my chicken tendies. And, but I had to get out of there. It was getting a little hairy. So, anyway, got through the line, got them at that point, only had one packet, thought, okay, let's do something for the show. Let's make it special. Let's open up on the show. Let's eat it. Take a video. It'd be great. Right? I get home and I start searching the internet a little bit. And I'm on eBay, and I discover a very interesting thing. 1 ounce packets of Szechuan sauce are going for upwards of $300 on eBay. So I think, do I want to eat $300? No, I don't really. So, unfortunately, we are not going to be eating the Szechuan sauce on the show at this point. However, it is coming back in December.
As a full release
in December. And this leads me to kind of my bigger point with all of this. I think I hate fandoms. And I'm not talking about people who enjoy a thing and can get together and enjoy a thing. Like, we all enjoy things. I like people being enthusiastic about shows and about movies and about comics and about games. I like enthusiasm. I love it. I really do. It's why I like going down to like bad movie nights, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, because and conventions. I love being around people who are enthusiastic about things. But there is a point where it starts to become toxic. I saw firsthand how toxic fandom could be.
When you're seeing imaginary boxes of
Szechuan sauce and fights are almost breaking out in a line inside a McDonald's in Columbus because of a sauce packet.
That a cartoon man told you was very good.
That a drunk cartoon man told you, yelled at you about.
I think this is like a bigger problem with just like nerd culture in general. Because I think it's based in consumerism.
Yeah.
Because you're told if you consume this, you're special, you're smart, and different. Which is like completely against what Rick and Morty, Rick is trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I told you guys off mic, Rick and Morty fans, by and large, are now people who swear up and down that they're like Rick when they're in fact like Jerry, the mindless consumer kind of lunkhead character on the show. And you're absolutely right. It is indicative of almost all nerd culture. Like, and we've all fallen into that trap a little bit. Yeah, sure. I like all my geeky stuff. We're sitting in a room full of it.
Look at the we've all
had that thing from that thing we like that we spent too much money on.
Well, sure.
Type of situation.
But at least we can all say, I would say pretty confidently, that we've never gotten into a fist fight over it.
No.
If there was someone who was more interested and more deserving and anything, if there was someone standing between you and that geek thing that you wanted, none of us have ever like been shady and
I'm not gonna assault somebody.
Yeah. And I'm not just talking assault. Don't be a dick.
Speaking of
terrible
things and terrible moves.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine who were hanging out in Springfield on that Saturday went to their closest McDonald's.
Okay.
Which was in a nearby town I can't remember the name of right now.
They assuredly were not going to have the sauce, though.
They went to go get the sauce. All the McDonald's employees in that particular store bought all the sauce.
But they shouldn't have had... I don't think they had the sauce.
There's no way they would have had the sauce. There was only a couple places in Ohio that had the sauce. You know,
according to the website, this particular store was supposed to have it.
Oh, well, there you go. Huh, interesting. And you know what? Those employees are making barely minimum wage while they're working there. Let them get the sauce, put it on eBay, and make a few extra bucks.
Yeah, now they got two paychecks worth of money coming from...
Exactly, yeah. You know what? They kind of earned that. And it's not just Rick and Morty. We're kind of dogging Rick and Morty. And it's become very popular online in the last week or so for people to dog on Rick and Morty fans. Part of it is warranted, I would say.
I saw a video of a dude climbing on a counter.
Yes, I've seen that video too.
Screaming about, I want the sauce.
Jumping up and down.
Having a tantrum.
Yeah, and then spinning around on the floor, screaming, squealing like a pig and going, I'm Pickle Rick, I'm Pickle Rick.
Yeah.
Although I'm not entirely sure how much of that was staged.
Yeah.
True.
And then Naruto runs out the door, which made me laugh.
Yeah, that was actually kind of funny.
I mean, like that kid who like loses his stuff in his room and like throws a hissy fit with...
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That old video.
Yeah. The entitlement. The geek entitlement is getting bad. And
I think it's always been kind of bad.
It's always been kind of bad, but it's more prevalent now that being geeky
or
and
more,
being
just
nerdy
more visible
is just... Yeah, it's becoming more mainstream. And because of the internet, everything is more visible. There's more of a magnifying glass and a more of a light shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it weren't for the internet, you would have never saw that kid spinning around on the floor yelling, I'm Pickle Rick, reet, 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 and then running out the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the crowd of people slamming on the tables shouting, I want my sauce.
I want my sauce, yeah.
That was another one.
Uh-huh.
Hey, remember when My Little Pony fans were the ones that were getting all the fire from the internet?
Because they deserved it. Yeah. Because little girls couldn't do a search for Fluttershy without seeing horrible abominations.
Yeah.
And probably still can. They never will be able to.
I mean, that movie just came out this weekend.
Yeah. And again, it's not just that kind of stuff.
Well, like, that's them taking something from its intended audience entirely, and that's not cool either.
That's really not cool.
That grinds my gears. It's not for you, but now you've made it for you and ruined it for its original audience.
And... There are – Steven Universe is the same way. I mean, it's not to that extreme as My Little Pony, but it's definitely, like, if you don't enjoy Steven Universe in a very specific way, then you are, like,
firebombed
by the
fandom. If you draw the characters the wrong way, mm-hmm. you're going to get death threats.
Yeah, and that's not...
Probably not right. Now, but there was a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just, you know, negative, like, death threats and stuff like that. Like I mentioned off mic, again, my brother and me, we're all fans of the McElroys. What's the worst part of the McElroys?
The
fandom surrounding the McElroys. Because, not because it gets negative, but because it gets, like,
weird
and obsessy.
Yeah,
it's
because
just really
they're just
obsessy.
They're just three dudes.
Yeah, they're three dudes that make a free radio show, and it are pretty funny.
And that happened to got popular on the internet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't put framed pictures of them in your house. That's weird.
That's very weird.
I saw that on the Facebook group once, which caused me to unfollow the Facebook group.
Yeah. Now, I will say, if it's a picture of you with them. And it's, like, autographed or something?
That's different,
that's
yeah.
cool. That's all right. But just pictures
not like a
that
picture
you printed
out.
It
put in a yeah. frame.
It put in a frame.
Hung in your house like they're family friends.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool. And it just kind of makes me, I don't know, man. Just
skeeves me out.
It skeeves me out. And just all of this, just in general, is just, like, it doesn't make me not want to be a geek or a nerd or be into the things that I enjoy. But it... It makes me not want to be as visible about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, yeah, I can see that.
Because, you know, you walk up to someone these days and say, hey, yeah, I'm a fan of Rick and Morty. There's now going to be a preconceived notion in that person's head
yeah.
of what kind of a person
oh,
a Rick and Morty
you're a screaming
fans.
Sauce maniac. You're...
We just found the title of the episode, I think.
Sting.
So, I don't know. I really don't have much else to add to this, just that, just be cool.
Enjoy responsibly.
Enjoy responsibly. Enjoy your thing. Don't get so wrapped up in the consumerism.
Yeah. Like, again, you lose like your own identity. Like,
yeah, it just...
Be nice to the employees. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
Any service worker... Just be nice
just
to.
Be cool. I think that just should be a general rule for everyone these
yeah.
days. Is
yeah, Johnny Cash cool. Register didn't make it, so there was only 20 sauces.
No, he walks the line just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You said
Johnny Cash Register.
Yes!
Like, what?
Boom! Yeah! Yeah! It's a terrible high five, but I don't care.
As they say in Bill and Ted... Be excellent to
each
other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's my rant. We now have 10 minutes to fit in everybody else's stuff.
Okay,
we can go over into the next break. That's totally fine.
We got horror movie talk to do.
That's cool. You know what? Let's
say
what, Josh. If you have things to check out, we'll save the horror movie talk for after the break.
All right. So I watched some movies.
Nice.
And I played some games. I watched.
Congratulations.
I know, right? Well, normally during the week, I just sleep like I'm some kind of hibernating monster.
Ooh, that's the other thing I did. That's all I did. That and sauce. Gotta get that sauce.
It's your 9-season arc. It's when you're one-legged man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
One-armed man.
Oh, yeah. I went naked gun with it.
Yeah.
I got Cuphead.
What
and,
do
I've
you
been,
think?
And I've been playing through Cuphead.
Yeah?
It's a rage factory.
Oh, man, it's hard. And I love it.
It is. It's a great game. I've got it, too.
It's beautifully crafted.
Yeah.
Like, they did a lot of research, and they put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
And it's only $20.
Yeah. It looks amazing. I will never buy that game because it is the exact type of game that would make me get so... infuriated that I would quit all games.
Don't play it.
Just going to watch YouTube videos of other people play it because it looks beautiful, but there's no way that I could not play it and not get furious.
I don't think you would enjoy it.
Probably not.
I mean, I was swearing up a storm at it. Like, I was so mad the other day.
Those Frog Brothers were getting me real hot.
Based on Ken and Ryu.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
I wondered why one had white pants and one had red pants.
Mm-hmm. And their warm-up before the round starts, the one in white pants does, like, the like the stance like Ken, and the other one does like almost like a mini dragon punch like Ryu or like Ken.
Nice.
So yeah, no, there's a lot of I've noticed there are a lot of references to other games and other classic cartoons, like the blue guy from the first stage. That's a Dragon Quest slime.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Sure, they even call him a slime.
Yeah. And, gosh, there's just references all over the place.
I accidentally blew all my money in the...
pork rinds?
Yeah, pork rinds. Like, I was just shifting through stuff, and, like, I meant to back out, but I hit the wrong button, and I bought, like, a couple of things.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, well, too late now.
Yeah, and some of the certain shots make bosses a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. I've been using the spread shot a lot.
It looks like that charge shot is kind of game-breaking at this point.
Really?
I've heard the next update is actually going to decrease the strength on the charge shot.
The one that loops back, that goes forward and loops back, is perfect for any boss that's, like, chasing you. Because then you don't have to worry about aiming.
Right.
You just shoot it and avoid the attacks.
Yeah.
I almost bought that one, but I didn't.
It's a good one to have, especially in the second world of bosses. There's a couple...
Chasers, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I love the game.
We should probably explain what Cuphead is.
Cuphead is a game that is spent a long time in development.
Mm-hmm. Like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. For a few reasons. One, they hand-drew everything.
On cells.
Animation cells.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like cartoons from the 30s.
It looks like old Fleischer cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like straight out of like
Steamboat Willie-esque like style cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
The sounds, the visuals for everything.
I love that soundtrack.
Oh yeah, that soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah,
just everything.
Really cool old jazzy stuff. Yeah, I love it.
It's so good, but it's about a guy, are they brothers?
They're brothers.
Okay. Cuphead and
Mugman
go to a casino and get a little over their head and make a deal with the devil.
Make a deal with 1930s cartoon devil.
Yeah. And now they have to go and collect
soul contracts
for him to not have their souls taken.
Yeah. But it sounds really dark, but it's like done in like old style cartoons, so it's like very it's very cool, very stylized. I like watching it a lot.
And then gameplay-wise, it's like...
run and gun.
Like Contra.
It's
Contra.
Like Contra or a Japanese-style bullet hell.
But it's 90% bosses.
It's 90% bosses.
From what I understand, they weren't even going to have those run and gun levels in it originally. They decided to throw those in as an afterthought right before development ended, just because they were told by Microsoft, people are going to be expecting some levels in this game. It can't just be bosses.
And the levels all are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't really like them.
They're not great. They seem like an afterthought.
And it's also like one of the only ways to actually collect money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me like they had the idea to hide money throughout each stage. And when they implemented the run and gun levels, they removed a lot of the hidden coins from the stages.
Mm-hmm. Because of that little coin guy in the overworld.
Overworld, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, it talks about, like, you know, oh, I've hidden my money in places. If you find it, you know, good luck on you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And there's, like, 3 hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. It's just a blast of a game. I've been really enjoying it. It's frustrating, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I love it for the fact that the work and the craftsmanship that went into it. And then I hate it because it's so... unforgivably hard.
Yeah, you want to see more bosses and more animation and stuff, but God, you really have to work for it. They make you earn it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they do not hold your hand.
No, and I refuse to do the simple difficulty.
Me too.
Well, you can't get the contract if you do it on simple.
Oh really?
Yeah. Simple is strictly practice mode.
Well, I'm glad I haven't even decided to practice.
Yeah.
I just go in there like not knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm really bad about not using my parry, too.
Oh, you gotta use it.
You gotta use it.
By the end, you get your special charged up.
From what I understand, not spoiling, you have to know how to use it and use it regularly by the end two bosses, because you will not beat it otherwise.
Mm.
It is absolutely necessary, from what I understand.
Anyway, so I've been doing that.
Yeah.
I decided to go through my ever-growing collection of movies and watch some stuff I've had that I haven't really sat down and watched. I watched the DC animated movie Gods and Monsters.
Okay.
It was done by Bruce Timm, and it's done in the Bruce Timm DC style.
Oh, is that the one with the evil Superman?
I won't say evil Superman. He's a little more heavy-handed.
Mm.
It's an Elseworlds story that's not already based on an existing graphic novel.
Right.
It focuses on Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, but they are not the Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman you know, in a world that's similar but different.
Right.
Like Amanda Waller's president and things like that.
Okay.
Superman is the child of Zod and regular Superman's mom.
Can't remember. Oh, Lara Zor-El?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All based through a whole Kryptonian incubation chamber thing.
Mm.
And then instead of being raised by the Kents, he's raised by a couple of migrants.
Oh, okay.
So he throws it. Kind of Spanish and just his general talking.
Hmm.
The style wise and everything is really different. Batman is Kirk.
Douglas
Langstrom.
Yes.
The Man Bat.
The Man Bat. Yes.
Yeah.
So instead of becoming the Man Bat like he would in the Batman comics, he is a vampire creature.
Ah, nice.
Through an accident, a science accident.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman is Becca, and she is the granddaughter of Highfather from New Genesis.
Okay, yeah, all right, sure.
She was supposed to marry Orion,
mm-hmm.
but then Highfather betrayed everyone at the wedding and killed Darkseid and Orion, and she just runs away.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a thing from the comics. Or at least that character was... That's an actual character from the comics.
It's a really just interesting movie.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, you see a lot of familiar characters, but they're different than what you're used to.
Yeah.
Like Ray Palmer and Victor Freeze for like 2 seconds, you know, stuff like that.
Cool.
Did we talk about the Batman Harley Quinn movie on here?
That was going to be... Well, you've mentioned it, that you didn't like it. That was my other movie I watched.
Oh, that was the other one?
Yeah, it was the Batman Harley Quinn movie.
What did you think?
I don't know. It wasn't terrible.
I thought it was garbage.
Like, it looked like Batman the
movie. Yeah, it looks great.
But I feel like it loses some of the heart of the Batman animated series.
It's tonally all over the place.
I can't tell if it's like the swearing and stuff and the kind of the more mature content in it, or just Harley Quinn's voice was really bothering me really bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But yeah, what was with the two musical numbers in the middle?
Oh.
Back to back. Felt like it was 7 hours long.
Oh, I know. Where like Harley sings like that punk rock ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it feel like it was trying too hard, maybe?
At times.
Yeah.
Like there were times it was really, really good.
Okay.
Well, there was times where it was Harley Quinn farting in the Batmobile.
Hmm. Yep.
That happened.
That's a scene.
So, do you happen to know who wrote that movie? Who was the lead writer on that? Because I might look it up.
You're going to have to look it up.
Screenplay by Bruce Timm and James Krieg. So, Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, like, and sometimes it wants to be real serious. There's a scene where Harley Quinn, like, holds a dying doctor in her arms and, like, kind of eases him on to death. And it's, like, really serious. And I'm like, but 20 minutes ago, this movie was Harley Quinn farting in the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Or making patty cake jokes with Nightwing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense why Harley Quinn's voice is off. It's the voice
of... Yeah, it's a Big Bango.
It's the what's-her-name from Big Bang. Not Kaylee Cuoco.
The one
Penny.
That plays Bernadette.
It's the Bernadette, yeah. Melissa Rauch is the actress's name.
Yeah.
But no, that makes sense.
I mean, in a positive spin, she mentions the Joker for like 2 seconds and how he was
abusive.
A psychopath, yeah.
Well, that's good at least. Let's see. I'm looking at the cast list here. There's actually some pretty decent actors, I guess.
She works at a restaurant that's Hooters for superhero.
It's called Super Bears.
Is it run by Booster Gold?
No. Booster Gold does make a sort of cameo.
Voiced by Bruce Timm.
In voice only.
Yeah.
Because Batman's like trying to call in help, and he's like, everyone's kind of off world right now. But hey, I could come down, And Nightwing's like, no, no, no.
Yeah. No, the only reason why I ask is because in Kingdom Come, the possible future version of Booster Gold's character retires from superheroics and starts a chain of superhero-themed restaurants.
No.
That's where he makes all of his money.
Yeah, it's just a sleazy kind of Super Hooters.
This is squarely fashion. Hooters where everyone's dressed up like DC Super Ladies.
Huh.
That's really garbage.
That's really sucks. Although it looks like Padgett Brewster's Poison Ivy in this, and that's pretty cool.
Poison Ivy was great. She was fine. Yeah, there's no problem with Poison Ivy in the movie.
Oh, cool. Good.
It feels like it's basically the whole reason Harley Quinn is there is because they had a connection in the animated series.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that was the whole point of even bringing Harley Quinn in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an okay movie. It's not a great movie.
Yeah.
I'd say it's better. It's more well done than the Killing Joke movie was, in a way.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Like, the later half of Killing Joke is amazing.
Yeah.
The beginning
at least
garbage.
That had that, but yeah. I think this whole Harley Quinn movie was garbage with, like, four jokes that were funny in it.
Mm. Yeah.
The rest of them didn't hit. Or were, like, joke adjacent. Like, I see what you did, but...
Gotcha.
It's not funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I hate how to introduce that Harley Quinn is a tough character, she gets sexually assaulted at this restaurant that she works at, but she's not going to take it. She's going to beat the guy up. And it's like, that's an old trope.
Yeah.
And it's not interesting, and it's dumb.
Well... With Bruce Timm writing it, he's not really a writer. Bruce Timm is known for many things associated with DC non-comics. Writing's not one of them. And usually when he does write, he has another writer like a Paul Dini.
Yeah.
To kind of help him, I guess.
Flesh it out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, listen, we are kind of running over a little bit, so we need to take a break here real quick. And when we come back, we'll get into some of the Halloween movies that you guys checked out. Last week, I guess, and then some news, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds good.
And we're back. That was Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett. I can't remember. Did we play that song last week?
No.
No, we didn't?
No, it's a good time of the year to play it. Yeah, it's Halloween time.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard it's a graveyard smash.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been so long since I've heard it, so, yeah.
So horror, that's a great
good segue.
Horror movies.
Yeah, let's talk about some horror movies.
Let's see, what did we watch? Because we've been watching a horror movie a day since October started.
Okay, so that means you should probably have, like, what, seven?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
You made a list. What was at the top of the list?
I don't know, because it's on my phone that I don't have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hush was good.
Is that the one with the dolls?
No.
No.
We did watch one with the doll, which we will get into later, but... Hush was really good. It's a Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's about a lady who is mute
and deaf.
And deaf who gets attacked by a home invader guy.
Mm.
And it's shot really well. There's a lot of interesting things it does with sound, obviously. And this lady's tough and sticks it out against a home invader, serial killer. They don't really explain who he is or why he does it. Well, you don't really need it.
That's the point. Like, it's just so
random. Like the only reason you know he's a serial killer is that she picks up his crossbow at one point. He kills people with a crossbow and a knife.
He's like, you can tell he's like into the sport, like hunting.
The most dangerous game.
Yeah. But there's tick marks on his crossbow that says this isn't his first rodeo.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
But it's a good movie. I would recommend that one, definitely.
Okay.
If you're looking for a spooky home invader movie.
Cool.
For what else did we watch? Beyond the Gates, which is conceptually very cool.
It sounds like it has one of those, like, just really, really just kind of meh scary movie titles.
Yeah. Well, it's about two brothers whose dad disappeared, so they're coming home to... close down his VHS video store.
Okay.
And they find one of those VHS board games, like a Nightmare.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'm instantly in.
Yeah, yes. I was too. But it's haunted. It's a haunted board game. There's the evil lady in their TV.
It's spoopy Jumanji.
Yeah. And they have to do different stuff to win the game and free their dad's soul. I mean, it's a conceptually a cool idea.
It sounds really good.
Yeah, but executed in the most mediocre way imaginable.
See, that's the worst thing you can be with those kind of movies. If you're going to be bad, just be rotten.
Yeah.
Like, the script was just pretty boring.
Yeah.
The biggest problem it had.
Yeah, like, it wasn't... I wouldn't say it's bad, but it definitely wasn't
good. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and just kind of cliche. The one female character in the movie is, like, barely there.
Mm.
Yeah, all the characters are really paper thin, actually.
That's some good gore, though.
Yeah, some of the gore effects were really good.
Cool.
Some good voodoo doll gore, but I wouldn't really recommend it unless it sounds really interesting to you. I mean... It's enjoyable enough. But
don't expect anything amazing.
Yeah, don't expect to get your mind blown. we also watched The Void, which was pretty good.
It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, there's some eerie shots and a lot of, like, the cultist people are creepy looking. It's a movie about people trapped in a hospital by cult members.
Yeah.
It kind of has a Lovecraftian feel to it, but it was ultimately pretty predictable. The monsters were really well done, though. They were really creepy and weird and almost had, like, a Doom vibe to them.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it was just okay, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was creepy.
Yeah. What is that? We on 3 movies now?
I keep a count. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, we watched the original Frankenstein.
Oh, you did? Like the original?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
I was surprised how good it was.
And it really holds up surprisingly well. Like, it didn't feel super dated or anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's shot in a way that does make it timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Frankenstein's cool. It was a cool movie. I didn't realize just how, like... how much of a parody Young Frankenstein is.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that they pull straight out of the original Frankenstein.
Oh, if you want to...
Like the props. All those props in Young Frankenstein are from that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of it was used from that. Actually, if you want to see a Frankenstein movie that was almost directly drawn for Young Frankenstein, find The Son of Frankenstein with... Oh, what's his name? He was Sherlock Holmes in a bunch of stuff.
Basil
Rathbone.
Basil Rathbone, yeah.
Search that one out. Actually, I have it on VHS. I'll let you borrow it if you have a... Do you have a VHS player?
No.
Okay. I'll find a way to get you a copy of it because it is uncanny how much is drawn directly and put into... Like, Basil Rathbone has the little tiny mustache like Gene Wilder has in Young Frankenstein. Like, there are full, like, scenes just straight up just... pulled.
I didn't know that the normal brain and the abnormal brain was a direct pull. Like, yeah. I lost it when they just showed the jar that says abnormal brain on it.
The brain belongs to Abby someone.
Yeah.
Abby who?
Abby
normal. I'm derailing things. I love Young Frankenstein. I'm sorry.
Young Frankenstein is great.
Yeah. It's a very good movie.
But it holds up, and I would definitely recommend Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I mean, for the historical value alone, but also it's entertaining. And he throws the girl in the lake, and she sinks like a rock.
Put it on the Ritz.
Did you want to talk about Annabelle?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Annabelle.
Oh, you watched Annabelle?
No.
It was bad. Like, so generic. Everything was pulled out of somewhere else that did it better. And... they advertise, if you've seen the trailer, it very much looks like a creepy doll movie, but where a creepy doll is going to be running around spooking people. That is not what this movie is. It's a demon movie. There's a big demon monster, and the doll never once runs around. It maybe briefly floats. And we got so bored during it that we began voicing over the doll.
Like a la Justin McElroy's Amelie, but a little German.
God. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Nice.
More German than French.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Going to drop a book on you. On your baby.
I'm gonna aim right for the soft spot.
Oh, God.
But that says a lot about the movie right there, yeah. That we had to...
make your own fun.
Yeah.
So I take it you're not going to be watching the sequel prequel no. Annabelle creation.
We might.
We might.
I mean, yeah. Annabelle's...
Where is it in theaters right now?
And I don't know. Annabelle's kind of loosely...
Give it a week. It'll be on DVD yeah. soon.
Loosely inspired by a actually haunted doll.
Yeah. So that was the other problem, is the doll looks like garbage. Like, it's way too overdone,
like
scary. It doesn't look like a doll anybody would put in their house or purchase in
any
way.
That is garbage. That yeah. is like...
It looks like a prop someone made to be sold in a store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was originally a short on YouTube, I believe.
Well, it looks like a doll made for a horror movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
but yeah. No, I think if I'm remembering right, it was originally a short on YouTube, and they used an actual like creepy doll, and then when it was picked up to be made into a full fledged movie, they made a six foot tall mannequin. Yeah,
that's not six foot, but it's a solid 3 or 4 foot.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it looks like one of those Living Dead dolls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work. Like, nobody would put that in their house.
A haunted My Buddy?
Yeah. That would work.
Wait a minute. Isn't that what Child's Play is?
Yeah, that's Child's Play.
But that's after we watched that, I'm like, darn it, I just want to watch Child's Play, because then at least I get to see the spooky doll running around.
That's all you want.
Yeah. We had more than that, too. Well, we watched The Wicker Man last night.
The original one.
Okay, ooh. Good. The one where Nick Cage is dressed up in a bear suit and punched that chick?
No.
The one with Christopher Lee in it.
Oh, yeah. It was just bonkers.
Yeah, it's
oh,
nuts.
It is.
Yeah, and I loved it.
Also, that cop's kind of a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of deserves it.
He reminded me very much of Simon Pegg's cop in Hot Fuzz.
Except
a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, he's a very straight-laced, like...
very Christian.
Christian conservative man mm-hmm. stuck on an island with a bunch of hippie pagans.
Yeah, basically. Now that you've seen that, find and watch for this month. If you're searching for something, find the remake with Nicolas Cage.
I'm curious what they do with it, because yeah. it's so bad.
It's nuts. Like I said... he wears a bear suit, and then he punches a woman out on the island for no reason.
Here's another horror
other
movie.
Other than being Nicolas Cage.
Here's another horror movie connection for you.
Okay.
The song that plays in the original Wicker Man when that girl is banging on the wall and stuff of the inn where he's staying at, that song plays in the first Hostel movie. when the friends meet up those girls and bring them back to the hostel. That exact same song plays.
You kept singing that one song. Like
Corn Rays and Barley Rays. Like, it's practically a musical. There's so much singing in this movie, and it's so unnerving and weird.
Like, you're just like almost with the cop. Like, what the heck? Yeah. It's weird.
It is interesting how the mystery kind of unfolds in the movie.
Yeah. It was just a really good movie. A lot of, like, the 70s ones we've been watching are really slow in the beginning. Because that's just the way that... well, this one builds up, I think, appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel super slow. Every corner was another weird thing that you're like, what? And the ending is fairly predictable, but still earned and good, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, of the movies you've watched this month... that's one of the ones I've seen.
Did we talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, that's the one we're missing.
That's the one we're missing. We watched that. I'd never seen that
classic.
Before.
Yeah, the original one.
I saw it like forever ago as a kid because I was messed up. Yeah.
It was so good, though. It was really good. God, it's been like a week now since we watched it, so it's not as fresh as the other ones. But God, it's so creepy and so good, mm-hmm. and I feel bad for Leatherface. Because he's not the evil one. He just is in that family of weirdos.
Yeah.
And he's obviously...
he's a product
like,
of his surroundings instead of big, just out-and-out evil.
And he's also, like, obviously kind of a special needs situation.
Was it Dennis Hopper was...
No, not in the original.
Not in the original. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right.
The original is just a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
which works in its favor. Mm-hmm. It was just so intense and raw. It's like the most intense and raw movie I've ever seen.
Well, you don't like people yelling.
And it was a lot of yelling, yeah, a lot of running and yelling. Really long chase sequence. Like, I almost wanted to put Yakety Sax behind it.
I'm sure that exists somewhere.
Yeah. Not terribly gory for something called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. A lot of the there wasn't a lot of on-screen blood, actually. A lot of it is implied.
The remake fixes that.
Fixes, air quotes, fixes. Because I think it works better. It makes the scenes
I'm sure
where
because
they're...
it was shot real cheap.
Yeah.
Also, you know, of its age.
The house was so well done with all the bones and crap everywhere. Like,
you can really see where Resident Evil 7...
Yeah, nobody told me Resident Evil 7 was pretty much ripping off this movie almost entirely. But it very much is. Down to the cannibal hillbilly family, like... It's very much all taken from this movie.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, that dinner scene. Like,
yeah.
It's very, very much like that one scene in there.
Oh, and the grandpa that you think is a corpse, but he's actually alive? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty creepy. Is that all the movies?
I think so.
That's all that we watched?
I think that's all of them. Okay, cool. So you guys going to keep us updated with them for the rest of the month?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of some recommendations.
I have a few after off mic. I have a few.
We'll get into that.
I'll let you guys borrow if you're needing a few.
We kind of are. We're running out of ones on Amazon and Netflix.
Okay, yeah,
good ones anyway.
Yeah.
No, I got a few.
I'm a big fan of Hammer horror.
Yes, the Hammer stuff is very, very good.
We're trying not to chomp on the bit of no, I haven't seen that too much.
Yeah,
like we've kind of stuck to cultier stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, that's fine. One of my favorite Hammer horror films is actually a Hammer and Shaw Brothers co-production. Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires.
Mm.
Yeah, it's Chinese hopping vampires versus Kung Fu masters, and also Grand Moff Tarkin's there.
Oh, yeah, Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Peter Cushing was in, like, almost all that Hammer horror
stuff. Oh, yeah. It was a steady paycheck for him.
Yeah, for Christopher Lee being Dracula.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we should have played for the music was some Christopher Lee's metal.
Oh,
yeah.
Charlemagne.
I think we've done that once, though. I'm thinking
we might have.
I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever.
He was so cool.
He was a cool dude.
He was good in Wicker Man, too. He definitely had, like, cult leader vibes going on.
He's had that handsome face.
Yeah.
Super tall.
When he was young.
Yeah.
I just love 70s horror for some reason. I don't know why.
There's the rawness.
Yeah. There's something about it.
Well, they had to be more messed up and grosser than Vietnam.
Yeah. That's like, what they had to do. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely
when you
right.
can turn on the news and see mutilated corpses every day, you got to do something really weird in your horror movie.
Yeah.
I recommend looking for some Dario Argento. Stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Suspiria is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are like not only are they like they're good horror movies, but they're visually very interesting.
Yes.
And if you watch a lot of them, you'll notice there are a lot of themes that go throughout all his movies, mostly revolving around color and broken glass.
Yeah. Oh, if we're recommending things on air, you've seen House, right? House 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
That's a brilliant movie, though. If you're listening, yeah, go see House, a.k.a. Houseu.
Yeah.
Japanese horror movie that's
bonkers.
It's bonkers. It's nuts. But
well, most
very
of
good.
It is from the director's daughter,
uh-huh.
which lends a truly out there, childish, almost horror scenarios.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that at the Gateway.
That's right. Yeah, I was sitting here trying to remember if that was you guys that I went with to see that or someone else. But yeah, it was you guys. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. Well, do you guys want to get into a little tiny bit of news? We have about 10 minutes left in the show. I think we can squeeze 10 minutes out of the news here. Let's start at the bottom of our list. Hey, kids. Tamagotchis are back.
In Tamagotchi form.
Yeah. You remember Tamagotchis? Those little digital things that made digital poops and then died while you were sitting in class?
I had one when I was a kid, and I loved it.
Everybody had one.
Yeah, everyone had a Tamagotchi.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, begging my dad for one.
Me and my sister both had them.
Yeah.
did you have actual Tamagotchi, or did you have, like, some kind of Gigapet knockoff?
I think we had both.
I had Digimon.
Well,
I had the Digimon one,
too. The Digimon-themed ones, because you could plug them into other...
And
another
fight.
Digimon, yeah. And fight.
And those are by Bandai, too, so they're just as good.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But, yeah, Tamagotchis are coming back just in time for the holidays. It's going to be $15, something like that.
And a little smaller than a regular Tamagotchi. But they look the same. They still act the same.
It's the NES classic of Tamagotchis.
Yeah, they said that it's still an 8-bit black and white screen, 3-button.
No backlight.
No backlight, yeah. It's visually... as close to the original as possible, and that's on purpose.
they probably don't make screens that bad anymore without having to custom make them, so that's probably why the screen is a little different.
Smaller, yeah.
How do we make this really, really bad? On purpose.
Yeah. But I bet it's going to be a lot thinner because chipsets and stuff nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Tamagotchis were basically the size of a regular size egg in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's like carrying around a real egg. They should put a real speaker on there so it makes a real fart noise when it poops.
That'd
so you just
good.
Be walking around all of a sudden. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Tamagotchis.
I'll probably get one. That sounds fun.
Yeah, if I see one out, sure, I'll pick one up. Why not?
I'll play it for a week.
Yeah.
And then forget to feed it like I did when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I was actually a very obedient Tamagotchi owner. I always kept the hearts all the way up and always cleaned up the poops immediately. When it evolved all the way, I got one of the best ones you could get.
Nice.
I was very into it.
It's cute.
It's very, very paternal.
Oh, Tamagotchi.
All right, so looking at our list.
Well, speaking of old devices
coming back. Let's do it, sure.
There's a hot rumor going around that the Game Boy Classic might be the next thing, the next big thing.
Okay.
Based on I think Nintendo re-trademarked some of the stuff involving the Game Boy.
I heard, I don't know if it was Crescente or someone was looking into the patents or whatever, and it seemed to be for clothing.
That's weird.
Yeah, I had heard something kind of similar about it as well. The clothing and, phone accessories.
Huh.
So, official Nintendo licensed cases, cases?
We're rumor busting right now, and apparently,
kind of.
It does sound like maybe it's more trademarking the design for merchandise reasons.
Yeah. I mean, if they made a Game Boy Classic, would you get it?
Yeah. I mean, that's a given. But...
What kind of games would they put on the Game Boy Classic?
Super Mario Land.
Yeah, two Super Mario Lands.
Wario Woods.
Wario Land, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wario Woods is a different game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wario Land.
Mm-hmm.
They put Tetris on there?
Tetris would have to be on there, but then they'd have to make another deal with the Tetris company on that one.
Kirby's Pinball.
Kirby's Pinball Land, Kirby's Dream Land.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only Kirby game I've really played.
Metroid 2.
Although, would they bother putting Metroid 2 now that they just put out the...
They just hammered the turns.
But it's so different.
Yeah.
It really is different enough to where I think they could.
Yeah.
I really feel like it would need to have Pokemon on it, but I don't know if they would do that.
I don't think it would. They wouldn't do that. I think they would probably put Final Fantasy Legends...
Yeah,
because they've had they seem to have a pretty good working relationship in this context with
Square or Adventure.
Yeah, I guess
Final
that would
Fantasy
be
Adventure.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda: Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
But that's
no, it'd be Link's Awakening.
And that's Game Boy Color too, which is a different. I don't know if they would do that or they'd stick with black and white.
I don't know.
Balloon Kid, Mole Mania.
I think you're just naming Game Boy games at this point.
Those are both Nintendo-made first-party Game Boy games.
Mm-hmm. They could probably get away with putting a Bomberman on there.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, if they want to make a deal with Konami.
Well, they just brought out the Bomberman game for the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Konami took a few minutes away from their pachinko factories long enough to crank out one of those... lackluster Bomberman games.
And weaving a net big enough to try to catch... Hideo Kojima again.
Oh, yeah. There's a giant box It's a giant box with a stick and a string with Mads Mikkelsen sitting underneath it. And that's how Konami is going to catch Kojima. Yeah. It's Mads Mikkelsen and a bunch of porgs.
Yeah. As fast can be, you'll never catch me.
I'm Hideo Kaji.
I think that Pokemon is like the biggest Game Boy game of all the Game Boy games.
And they won't get it for the
Game
Boy
And I don't
Boy
think
Classic.
They would put it on the Classic.
So what's the point?
Because then they can't sell the Virtual Console version. Mm-hmm.
Which are very good. Those are very good ports.
So I don't think they would do it. I think they should stop with the Classic editions now.
I agree.
I think this is good for another good 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like,
because, let's face it, there's not going to be... A classic N64 is not going to work.
There's not enough games mm-hmm. that are good. And the emulation is a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
They would
Space
have to...
requirements would be a lot more difficult. Yeah. Although I guess the same, if they're using the same chipset, there's still plenty of room on those chipset boards and stuff.
I think there's only like somewhere between 200 and 500 megabytes left over on the SNES.
Oh, really?
So they would have to redo the whole... Because the SNES Classic is the same machine as the NES Classic, exactly. They just changed what's on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd be able to do that for the N64. They'd have to upgrade.
They would probably have to. So instead of putting out another an N64 Classic or a Game Boy Classic, do you see them maybe doing a SNES Classic version 2.0 where they have, like, another 30-some odd games?
I don't know.
And make you buy a second one?
They already got all the good ones. Like, all the really good ones. Like, this would be a bunch of, like, B-tier games.
Yeah. Well,
Zombies Hit My Neighbors.
Get some DuckTales on there.
That was NES Classic. That was NES.
Oh, that's right. That was NES, wasn't it?
Crazy Ducks in Space.
They could use the design for the new NES and the new SNES that they had.
Yeah, that's true.
They wanted to make it look different.
Yeah.
The top loader NES.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Or better yet, just put all the games on a Switch cart and sell that.
Yep.
Or, now stay with me now, Virtual Boy Classic.
Terrible.
It actually straps to your head, though.
Yeah.
Like some VR goggles.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be actually kind of neat.
Yeah, I would play that.
Mm-hmm.
Then people could play Virtual Boy Wario Land.
And that's one of the only good games that came out for that system.
Yeah.
Everything's red.
Yeah, well.
Everything's just red.
Mm-hmm.
What was that Red Alert where it's kind of like Star Fox, but everything's a wireframe?
Yeah.
There's no solid surfaces. It's all wireframes, which is as confusing looking as you would think. I'm surprised, like, a company like Capcom wasn't like, we'll make our own, we'll make a Mega Man machine, and it's got all the Mega Mans on it.
Well, they did just put out that, within the last year, that Mega
Legacy
Man
collection.
Legacy Collection.
But you think they'd want to cash in on this...
Nostalgia trip?
Yeah, plug-and-play nostalgia machine.
Plus...
Goldmine.
Capcom doesn't care about Mega Man.
This is true.
They've proved that time and time again. They just don't care.
And it hurts my soul.
Yeah.
They could make a Street Fighter plug and play that was like an arcade stick and it had all the old Street Fighters on
it. That would be cool, but they did just put out Ultra Street Fighter and Street Fighter V and Marvel vs. Capcom and that special Super Nintendo cart. Did we ever talk about it on the show?
No, we didn't. And maybe we should.
Yeah, they're doing a special edition, like limited run, like brand new cart of World Warriors Street Fighter 2.
It's an actual Super Nintendo cartridge.
Mm-hmm. It's like $150
for a regular Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
no, it's not. It's not just a cart. It's made out of red plastic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes it special.
Plus, it's the first Nintendo cartridge made in like 30 years.
from an actual known publisher. There's been other games. Like, I remember there was a Kickstarter for a 16-bit throwback game that was one of the Kickstarter goals was they were going to print it onto a limited number of working SNES cards.
And people still make NES games, too.
Like, oh, sure.
When we were at the Game Developers Conference, there was a whole company
there
doing that.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we have actually kind of hit time for the day. So, yeah, thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at Nerd Overload Now.
YouTube's still kind of nebulous. We're working on it.
Yeah.
This would be cool.
Nerd Overload TV is what that is. So yeah. Look that up.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Tell your friends about the show. We don't pay to advertise it anywhere. So if you would, like, you know, tell a friend about this cool show you're listening to, that would really help
us out.
That
would really help out a lot.
Like, please.
At least give us enough subscriptions so we can change the YouTube one to Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yep, that's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can find all of our back episodes over there. And don't forget, we're also on WZMOFM.com and 104.7 WZMO in Marion, Ohio. We don't talk about that often enough, but that is a thing that exists and it does happen.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday, 10 a.m., 9 p.m. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.